From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Jockulation with your host, LB Faust. Jockulation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Jockulation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show. Well, how the hell are you? It's Friday night, kids, and you know how Friday night is. We go ahead and do a Jockulation style. Hey, kids, LP Faust, your host here. Jockulation, just as normal. Look at that. And we're going to hope to God that all of the, glue and the freaking duct tape, maybe the scotch tape, all the shit that Ron put together to make one big, ball of stream doesn't fall apart any second now, hey, Carlos. Are we confident in this flawless system?
No.
Yeah, we'll have to go ahead and test it out a little bit, Ron. Don't worry about it. We're not going ahead and giving you shit. We're just going ahead and saying, hey, man, thanks for going ahead and duct taping the whole thing together. You know what I'm saying? So interesting pieces in the news today before we go ahead and get into the actual show. I'm sitting here laughing because I'm seeing that President Biden thinks now that stable coins should be regulated like banks. And I'm just thinking to myself, a bunch of regulations, watch somebody create a decentralized central coin. I couldn't think of a possible fucking chain that may have gone ahead and done a dollar peg. You know what I'm saying?
How about new?
Of course not. I don't know. Check out Hive, guys, for those of you who are trying to look for cryptocurrencies. I'm just saying it'll be great to go ahead and see how we can regulate a bunch of decentralized shit. But who cares? I'm sure it'll go over to the Supreme Court. And they'd like to remind you, remember, 4 out of all the justices have all come out now and said, hey, guess what, guys? Seriously, we're not political hacks. And I mean, does anyone believe
that? How about new?
Of course not, man. Because, I took my lessons wonderfully well from, HPD, the new USD. Pretty much there, Julia. But, I took my lessons when I was sitting there watching Game of Thrones from Tywin Lannister. And there was this one scene where he's in the small council and Jeffrey Lannister's sitting there shouting, I am king! And he says, anyone that needs to say that he's king is not a king at all. And I'm just sitting there going, I'm not a political hack! Yeah, do we believe it for a second?
How about new?
I'm just saying. Now, I was sitting there struggling to go ahead and put together some new material for a second. I was like, came up with a great idea. And then I thought about something, and I was like, you know what? I've been threatening to do something for a little while, and I think it's time that we go ahead and do that. I said that we would go ahead and put together a fantastic show that is the Time Warp Show. Remember, we're going to take all the good stuff from all the times way back when, because we got almost 3 years of material we're sitting on over here. And I was saying to Ron earlier, I can't believe how many fucked up stories I've managed to find in about 3 years of time, because that kind of shit,
how dare you?
Let's be real. It takes a little bit of special talent and special gifts to be able to go ahead and filter out the stories that really matter, that people are willing to go ahead and find. You know what I'm saying? But instead, I'll tell you what, we're going to go through time a little bit. We're going to go back to the good old days, you know? So as you know, I was out there doing the father-daughter ball the other last week, and it was pretty cool. It was a butterfly ball. I put up pictures, but do I share pictures of my daughter online? I'm just kind of wondering there, Carlos.
No.
Generally speaking, I don't do that because, I'm not sitting there trying to build her social media presence. I'd like her to go ahead and choose whether or not she's going to go ahead and have a profile built by fucking Facebook and all of those places. You know what I'm saying there? I'm just kind of dude.
How dare you?
But that being said, so I went over there, and as I was dancing to all of this stuff, having a good time with my daughter, all of a sudden I'm like, you know what really needs to happen? I threatened to do a prom show also. And I was thinking, shall I go ahead and put together all this material and,
you know, songs and everything. And I mean, it was going to be like wall-to-wall emo punk stuff, because I'm sure everybody loves wall-to-wall emo punk.
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
Yeah, absolutely not. So what we did was we said, let's not go ahead and put the wall-to-wall emo punk there, but I bet you we can do sort of like a prom theme segment. Just from the fucked up weird shit that LP has gone ahead and dug up out of his treasure chest of three-year-old shit, right? So, yeah, I'd be dancing cheek to cheek with Gabriel. I should do like Lady in Red at this point, right? But no, I won't. So, you know how it is when you're getting ready to go to one of those proms. There's always this whole process before you even get over to the prom, right? You get asked to go to the prom. I was asked to go to the daddy-daughter dance. And the very first thing is, damn, what outfit am I going to wear? Right? And what we have to do is we have to go onto LP's toy box of tricks, all of these helpful things that he went ahead and did. And fellas, you know, we don't really go ahead and have the issues that women do, but we are definitely challenged in this day and age because, if you recall, let's stretch our minds back to episode 8. A new freaking fashion trend was coming up that was inspired by something over in the 1960s. It's the he-skirt, kids. Do you remember that fantastic trend? So, guys, remember, it was Dorcas Menswear. Its founder, Barney Dorcas, was back in the 1960s, and Barney's son, Raul, was in charge. And he was looking for a new signature clothing item. Perfect for any prom that you're going to go to. Dorcas landed on the he-skirt. And in an internal memo dug up from Dorcas, it reveals more of the company's plans for the he-skirt. You've never heard of that. Hey, get woke over there, Julia. I'm just saying. The memo suggests that they should hire a certain type of model when they're going to go ahead and actually, like, do this he-skirt phenomena, right? He said for the he-skirt photo shoots, the models we're looking for are, quote, only men with large, hairy, developed legs, because in all probability, they will be frequently chased by men wielding bats and clubs, and the models must be able to outrun their critics. In fact, it faced so much resistance that someone, quote, misplaced most of the he-skirt's design and photos. And I'm sure that the world outside was just absolutely...
Whoa!
Whoops, wrong one. Was absolutely disappointed. But, you know, you've got to go out there and get yourself ready. And, of course, you only want the, like, most fashion-forward stuff, the most gender-bending, the most challenging in this day and age. And, of course, kids, it's not only that in the prep that's involved, right? It's not all just about the dress and all that stuff. There's also the pain-in-the-ass prep that goes with that. You know what I'm talking about, folks. You got to go ahead and have that scent, that aroma that just brings something out. That animal inside everybody just gives us a window to the past, brings in some nostalgia. And fortunately, on episode 16, we went ahead and covered the very fragrance that we're all looking for. That perfume that smells like semen that was inspired by an AIDS epidemic. If you recall, we were looking at Etat Libre d'Orange. The company selling the perfume calls it Secrétions Magnifiques, and has notes of not just semen, but also blood, sweat, and saliva. It costs $120 for a 50-milliliter bottle, and I'm just like...
I mean, what the fuck?
So the genius behind this is Etienne de Stuard, the perfume maker. He claims his inspiration for the scent came from his younger years when he was worried about the HIV and AIDS epidemic of the 1980s.
I mean, what the fuck?
The perfume is very connected to the 80s and to the viral risk. I thought about doing a perfume that would smell exactly like the situation, where you don't know if you're going for it or if you're protecting yourself from what you want. You're at the point between pornography and romanticism. Oh, I'm capturing the essence right now, brother. He said, you are lost between attraction and repulsion. It's a very dual perfume. True oil factory coitus. Now, reviews of the perfume were a little less rosy, with one reviewer calling the scent indescribably skanky and another one calling it salty.
I mean, what the fuck?
Now, Etat Libre d'Orange offers other notable scents such as I Am Trash, The Fat Electrician, and the Maltese of the 1970s. So, kids, remember, when you're going for that special dance, that beautiful moment of life, where you're trying to go ahead and go to that prom or that dance and you're getting ready, kids, you need to go ahead and get some freaking perfume that's been inspired by an AIDS epidemic immediately. And fortunately, episode 16 brought that on over to us. But of course, remember, kids, it's not just about going ahead and smelling right. We've got to have the right hairstyle. And if we recall all the way back in this wonderful time warp scene, reach back all the way to episode one, not a problem. We've actually got the perfect hairstyle, very fashion forward. And, you know, you got it here first over on Joculation. Remember, ladies, it was the flower vase hair, the whimsical updo hair trend that was going viral on Instagram at the time. Perfect for any dance, any occasion that, you know, you need to make a statement. It's all about glitz, glam, and everything. And of course, Taylor R., a Canadian blogger living in Hong Kong, was the one who posted this hashtag flower vase hair because there's literally no way better to describe it. Her long hair is defying gravity atop her head, shaped like a curvy vase, holding a real bouquet of colorful flowers. In the caption, she wrote, "Be truly groundbreaking this fall. Wear florals." And you've just got to ask yourself,
I mean, what the fuck?
And of course, you know, it doesn't stop there. Along with the hair, you've got more stuff you've got to go ahead and do. Because, let's face it, kids, hair and, like, you know, he skirts alone, it's not going to get you where you want to be. You're not going to become, like, the belle of the ball. You're not going to be the one that's going to win the homecoming king or queen thing. We got to go a little bit further. And if you crawl, ladies, back over in, like, episode 28, we went ahead and solved this problem because there was just another fantastic trend that was very eye-catching, perfect for any occasion. It was the bedazzled breast trend. Glitter, body paint, it was there for Halloween. There's a new Halloween costume trend that was sure to turn heads. Stripping nude and covering your breasts with nothing but body paint and rhinestones. So, Go Get's Glitter Instagram post was credited with starting the trend. A pumpkin is seen onto a model's behind, bedazzled with rhinestones, along with the caption, "Twerk or treat," asking users to tag their friends to have a pumpkin perfect bum. It doesn't matter what size or color you are, glitter's for everyone. Our products can be used anywhere, on the face, on the body, encouraging people that there are no limits to what you can create. And of course, you know, when you're sitting there trying to go ahead and win that homecoming king, queen, prom queen, whatever kind of thing, it doesn't stop there. As I've always told my daughter, remember, kids, accessories make the outfit. Now, some accessories might be a little too extreme. Like, for instance, probably the last thing you want to do when it comes to shoes is get a shoe from this dude that's got a shoe fetish who stole 126 flip-flops so he could have sex with them. Yes,
I mean,
kids.
What the fuck?
So back over, you know, in episode 58, we covered this strange freakazoid, Therap Kiata, who I can't even pronounce. He was 24 and he had a fetish for flip-flops, and he was found with a staggering 126 pairs that he pinched like a loaf from locals over in his central Thailand home. So he said he'd wear them around his home and it turned him on, and police said he allegedly told officers that after several hours of wearing the flip-flops, he cuddled and kissed them, stripping them off, rubbing them all over his body before, quote, having sex with them.
I mean, what the fuck?
He fully admitted to stealing the sandals for lewd purposes, so he'll be detained within the station until a court appearance for prosecutors to decide the next part of the legal process for him. And I'm just kind of wondering, right? Could you imagine if he actually got a hold of, like, I don't know, prom shoes and wonderful things like that? That would be just fantastically awesome. Maybe at one point we've got to go ahead and follow up on him in this story so we can go ahead and make sure the Time Warp episode is actually, I don't know, brought full circle. You know what I'm saying there, kids? And of course, accessories don't just stop over at the shoes. Ladies will go ahead and wear some jewelry. Gentlemen will wear watches and things like that. But I mean, is that really fashion forward? Is that really making a statement? Is that really the accessories that we need in today's day and age? I'm just asking somebody.
No.
That's right, man. We need something a little bit more groundbreaking, a little bit more statement-inducing, something along those lines. We need something from episode five that'll go ahead and just kind of bring the entire outfit together. You know, something like the GoPro for your dick. That's right, kids, the cock cam. It was the world's first cock ring with a camera, a revolutionary sex toy that allows you to record all of your erotic moments at never-seen-before angles. It'll store, view videos on your mobile device through the secure mobile app, taking your sexy videos home, or sexy home videos to the next level. At the time, it costed $159.95, and it can record video at infrared light, night vision, and HD video for up to 90 minutes at 1080p, 15 frames per second. There is a promotional video for the cock cam. You can go ahead and take a look at it on the site, or you can go to thecockcam.com, which I'll drop here in the link in the audience over here. And you can go ahead and check some of the wonderful point of views out that you've got. One guy is skydiving with a dildo strapped to his leg. And, you know, the cock cam securely attached to this particular device. And like I said, kids, it is like, you know, a fashion-forward kind of a statement. And, of course, we talked about the things that you need to go ahead and do. Accessories make the outfit, right? I mean, when we think about accessories and we're thinking about something that makes a statement, brings the outfit together, right? Does a cock cam necessarily do that? I'm just kind of wondering over here.
How about new?
Probably not. I mean, that's for like more the after party thing. You need something that's going to go ahead and be a talk piece. And usually that comes to like jewelry. Well, I mean, there's so much jewelry in the world. And thank goodness for episode 17 of Joculation, when we went back over into the toy box there. And we discovered that if you really want to go ahead and have like a statement-making piece, a conversational piece, nothing is better than going ahead and getting bespoke jewelry, because you literally shit the ring out of your colon. It's really what you do. I mean,
what the fuck?
So, designer Nicholas Gregory created the Ripley. It's an art project that has everything a human needs to shit personalized jewelry out of their ass. That's right, kids.
What the fuck?
The display had a strange wooden box propped open, full of colorful vials. Above the vials, gold-plated lid would be scrawled with the text and a picture of a human digestive system. It's the Ripley. The kit has everything you need to make intimately personalized jewelry with your ass. The vial has instructions on the case and notes accompanying the exhibit to explain. It contains an edible abrasive coloring, polishing materials, and a ring encrusted with gems.
What the fuck?
Potential users eat these materials as a meal. The idea is that once the ring hits a user's stomach, the abrasives as well as the stomach acids and small intestine abrasive Crozes from other things consumed will wear away the ring, exposing the jewels beneath. And then it moves on to the small intestine. The abrasives materials polish the ring. And as the ring moves on through the other waste through the gut, hardening shit compacts around and colors the gems. Finally, you guessed it, the user must fish for the finished ring, which will take on a different property depending upon his or her metabolism, diet, and other factors from within the potentially rough bowel movement at the end of the gastrointestinal thing.
What the fuck?
Yes, polish the ring, Gabriel. Polish the ring. And yes, anarchist, it is incredibly romantic. So romantic, you probably want to go ahead and have this not only for your dance as a conversational piece, but perhaps you'd like to go ahead and get it as some sort of an engagement, piece of jewelry or whatnot. And in the event that you're actually interested, I fished out, no pun intended, I fished out the link from my notes that I had years and years back, because we're talking, I've got 3 years worth of shit here now. So you can go ahead and check out the Nicholas Bentel studio over there with the Ripley in the event that you feel so compelled to have a conversational piece at your next party. And, of course, the question really becomes, hey, LP, great, we've got all of this stuff, we're prepared to go. Let me ask you a question. How do we really know that the party is worth going ahead and staying at? That's a very good question. How on earth do you judge whether or not you're actually at a party worth staying at? You know, you've got those parties that you'll go to. They're nice, they're cool, right? Dancing, little baked Alaska, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But it's not really a party. You want to know when you're at a party? You know you're at a party, particularly for Christopher Columbus Day, when, like, 22 protesters in Miami are sexually assaulting a statue of Christopher Columbus. That's how you know it's a party there.
I mean, what the fuck?
So remember, kids, way back over in time, LP touched on this story. Miami police have arrested no less than 22 people after a protest against the statue of Christopher Columbus, and it escalated into a sexual orgy, claim authorities.
How dare you?
Protesters first denounced the Italian explorer as a racist figure of white supremacy before several activists started taking off their clothes and sexually assaulting the statue, because nothing says fuck you to oppression quite like sexually assaulting a statue in front of local bystanders. So the Miami police were forced to wait for an estimated hour and a half until the protesters were finished fornicating before they would proceed to the arrest because of safe distancing measures adopted to prevent the spread of COVID-19.
I mean, what the fuck?
I mean, you know, shit. That's the first time I've ever heard of cops actually waiting for you to finish before slapping the cuffs on and arresting you. But who am I to judge, right? Now, that's not the worst part of this whole thing. The worst part of this thing is the city workers also complained that they were forced to wash the statue several times for sanitary reasons. I had to scrub Christopher Columbus's face with a toothbrush for 2 hours because he had sperm all over his hair, his teeth, and his eyes. Oh, my God.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, what was this, a fucking protest or a bukkake video? I'm just saying. Hush, Ron. Stop ruining my fun, okay? Good God almighty, man. Too many stupid freaking people here. Ruining the fun of the show! Ron, stop it. But that's okay. That's okay. You know when it's really been a great freaking party? Like, I mean a truly incredible party? When it ends the right way. You know, like when some dude sues someone for shooting a bottle rocket from his asshole and the bottle rocket explodes in his anus. That's when you know you've really got a fucking party on your hands. So apparently, an attempted bottle rocket launch from a drunken frat boy's anus backfired and caused a fellow frat boy to fall off a deck, a lawsuit claims. Hughes decided in his drunken stupor that it would be a great idea to shoot bottle rockets out of his anus, Helmsburg lawsuit states. But instead of launching, the bottle rocket blew up in the defendant's rectum. The rectal rocket explosion, quote, startled Helmberg and caused him to jump back, falling off the frat house's deck, the lawsuit claims. Helmberg became lodged between the deck and the air conditioning unit, the suit claims. The deck was about 4 feet off the ground. So let me understand something here. The dude who went ahead and had a failure to launch this bottle rocket out of his asshole, he's not suing anybody despite the fact he probably damaged his rectum irreparably with some frat boy thing. But the dude that jumps back and falls off of a 4-foot-high, like, ledge or whatever, deck, all of a sudden, he's the one that's egregiously injured? I mean, holy shit.
I mean, what the fuck?
I'll tell you what. You know what they should have done? They should have taken this shit to People's Court. That's what I'm thinking. Because, you know what? No one better than freaking Judge whomever is up there right now, Judge Irrelevance, because I think Judge Judy isn't there, and then there is Judge Joe Brown and Judge somebody else. I don't know, man. Maybe we can go ahead and get it done by some person of substance. I don't know. I mean, listen, Kim Kardashian's allegedly working on her law degree. Fuck, why don't we go ahead and just let her go ahead and do the court case? I mean, after all, what could possibly go wrong? You know what I'm saying there? Huh?
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
So the moral of the story, kids, is remember, there's a lot of wisdom in the old episodes of LP Faust as we do this Time Warp episode. You know what I'm saying there? Maybe it's good if we go back and cultivate and re-examine the knowledge that has been disseminated over these almost 3 years of time the joculation has been going on. Yeah, I can't believe it either. Holy shit. Well, I'll tell you what. I've got something sitting over here that says, drink me. I'm going to have some of that, and we'll take a break here. Meanwhile, I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show on this Time Warp episode this evening. You're listening to Joculation. So the irony of that whole thing is I'm sitting over here. Hold on. Let's go ahead and reset that.
Hey, kids, it's Friday night. I'm LP Faust. I'm the cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. We're joined by our circle of intimacy this evening.
That's one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
So what we've got going on right now is we're kind of got like prom-inspired stories, but we're doing a little bit of a time warp episode over here from like, you know... from old shows, and most of these shows are not even on the podcast. So we're reaching back in time over here, going into the toy box, into LB's old stuff, and saying, geez, I wonder if there's any good shit in here. And I'm surprised at all the stories. So most of these stories are inspired from the daddy-daughter ball that I went to just this past Friday, and I kind of like ditched you guys for because, you know, I was inspired when I was over there. So at the beginning of this whole thing, we talked about the prep of getting ready for these formal dances and the prep of going ahead and doing that. We talked about fantastic things that you could go ahead and do, you know, or how you can go ahead and, like, accessorize with jewelry you could shit out of your ass after it just, like, gets scrubbed through your intestine. We talked about the he skirt. We talked about fantastic perfume that smells like semen that was inspired by the AIDS epidemic. We talked about all these wonderful things that we've covered in those past episodes because, hey, man, nostalgia, it's a thing. So what do we do now? We already talked about what it was like to go over to this event and how you can identify whether or not the event is actually worth going to, worth sticking around for, right? Well, logically, everybody, while we like the event, we really are there for the after party. You got to ask yourself, you know, hey, listen, man, how do I go ahead and identify an after party that's worth staying at? Well, I mean, if you're like in Ron's neck of the woods, the kinds of after parties, thank goodness that we go back in time to like episode 11 over here, and we're able to identify that the kind of like after party that would definitely capture Ron's attention and would say, you know what? I'm feeling the cousin fucking. I'm feeling that things are good. I'm feeling like these two Arkansas men that got hammered, put on bulletproof vests, and shot each other and lied to the cops about it. Dude, let me tell you, that's an after party I want to go to. So two pissed off protagonists, Charles Ferris and Christopher Hicks, were over in an Arkansas porch. And they were on Ferris's porch, to be specific. And Ferris was already wearing a bulletproof vest because that's what you do on a random fucking night of the week, as the two started crushing cold beers. Soon enough, Ron and Normock turned into their conversation turned into what it would feel like if a buddy got shot with a vest on. I mean, what could go wrong, right? So Ferris, being the scientist of the pair, told Hicks to shoot him in the chest. As it turns out, being shot in a bulletproof vest hurts something fierce. The pain pissed Ferris off, and he told the cops as soon as he got Hicks in the vest to get his revenge. Hicks got all dressed up. Ferris, according to his own words in the affidavit, quote, unloaded the clip into Christopher's back. And when Ferris complained about how much it was hurting to his wife, she convinced him to go to the hospital. Then Hicks ended up at the hospital complaining about chest pains. When Hicks was being treated, the coppers talked to Ferris, who concocted one hell of a tale to cover up for his buddy. Ferris said he was working as a mercenary-type guy, and he was hired to protect an asset for the tidy sum of $200. He said that they went out into the woods, and a dang gunfight broke out. Ferris stated that he was hit six times in the vest, but like the professional he is, he managed to escape with the fucking asset.
How about new?
But then his wife showed up, of course, and told the cops he was full of shit, and the two guys were wasted and shot each other. Now, you'd think it'd end over there. Did it end that way? Did it end
just like... How about
you? Fuck no, man. Somebody needed to be arrested. So, the two men were arrested and have since been charged with aggravated assault. If found guilty, they face a maximum punishment of 6 years in prison with a potential fine of $10,000. And I'm asking myself, right? First off, I could see Ron and Normock doing this. You know, it's there. They just finished the addition on Normock's house. It's a lazy, you know, summer afternoon. Normock looks to Ron with that twinkle in his eye and says, "What do you think about going camping this weekend?"
And of course, Ron looks back in that Brokeback moment and says, "Why, Normok, I'd love to go camping. One tent, one sleeping bag." And of course, Normok would turn back to Ron and say, "But of course, let me bring the gun and the bulletproof vest." And you could see how it would just progress from there, right? But that's not my point. My point is, this is potentially a victimless crime, right? I mean, both of them sat there and said, "Hey, do me a favor. Shoot me in the fucking in the chest while I'm wearing this bulletproof vest." But they're both fucking arrested and put off into jail. But kids, if you're in Arkansas, that's the type of way that you would know. Guess what? This is the party, the after party you should be at. Now, listen, there's a lot of judgy people out there that say, you know, maybe that's not my thing. You know, maybe there's like a lot of like weird overtones to that stuff. Maybe it's a little too violent for me. I'm looking for something just like a little more tame. Could you go ahead and suggest something else, LP? So I had to reach back into my box of tricks, and I dug up something from episode 15 for the perfect after party for some people. Perhaps, I don't know, Qua. The place that I dug up for Qua to go ahead and check out was Seattle Premier Men's Jackoff Club because, quote, it isn't just for gays. So Rain City Jacks, which is a men's jackoff club that has been gathering in various spaces throughout Seattle since 2005. Their very first meetup, only five men showed up, and I couldn't imagine why. But on June 11th, at Gallery Arado, 165 dudes showed up to celebrate the club's golden anniversary with a massive circle jerk because, I mean,
what the fuck?
What says congratulations and glad that you went ahead and lasted as long as you did? Quite like a great big circle jerk of 165 guys, right?
I mean, what the fuck?
And of course, you're thinking, well, shit, you got to probably be a homosexual for that. According to the club, it's not just gay guys. It's actually 10% straight, 25% bi, and 65% gay. Uh-huh. Yeah. Do we believe that for just a second there?
No.
Probably not. So, you know, hey, membership dues in the event that you're interested, Qua, $20 for a 30-day trial, $40 for a year membership, or just pay the club's laundry service, venue rent. Oh, I'm sorry. And the 40-year membership pays for the club's laundry service, venue rental, liability insurance, and, of course, the jizz mopper, right? Because you can't do anything without a jizz mopper, you know what I'm saying, at a jerk-off event.
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
So in the event that you're interested in going ahead and joining Rain City Jacks, and we're not judging here, go ahead and check the link below there. You can get all the details. Maybe what you'll do is schedule your own after party for the next dance that you attend. And just remember, the secret password to get in is no homo because, you know, people judge. And, of course, that may not be for everybody. There might be some people here that might say, you know, I'm a little bit uncomfortable about that. It's not my scene. You know, I'm a little bit taken aback by Rain City Jacks. And there's too much violence over in Arkansas for me to go ahead and actually do anything over there. LP, do you have something that's a little bit more, I don't know, PC, perhaps a little bit more to my speed? Maybe something where we don't have people committing violent acts or doing circle jerks? Of course I do. I mean, it was a little bit of a chore. Had to go back to episode 25 to find it. But I'll tell you what, kids, in the event you don't want to do any one of those, there is always the, you know, public university sex ed carnival that you can go to because, as you know, sexual education is an important thing. And over at the George Mason University, you know, they have such wonderful events as the Vagina Beanbag Toss, boasted against inflatable lips that are served to mimic a vagina. And students could throw large pink beanbags into it, informing students on flyers that, quote, not all people who have vaginas are women. Hold on a second. Let me digest that for a second.
I mean, what the fuck?
Once again, the student flyer said that, quote, not all people with vaginas are women. Genitalia is not an indication of gender, and it can be harmful to assume so. Other information provided included the number of nerve endings on the clitoris. Anyone want to go ahead and determine what that is? Apparently 8,000. And how the labia comes in different colors, light pink to dark brown. And the fact that the vagina is self-cleaning. As for the penis ring toss, the educational component to that game was the 8 or so 3-foot-high penis inflatables that were surrounded by signs on how to correctly use a condom.
They were also offered tastings of various lubricants. Flavors included cupcake, watermelon, and green apple. Additional stations at the carnival included the gender unicorn booth, which helped teach students how to properly react to friends coming out as LGBTQ. There was also an affirmative consent kissing booth and you mustache for consent table that sought to teach students how to get verbal consent before they engage in sexual activity. And no carnival would be complete without a balloon artist. So, of course, several students dressed in Bozo the Clown outfits could be seen walking around holding giant flesh-colored penis-shaped balloons because nothing says carnival, yes, the condom challenge. Quite like great big giant flesh-colored penis-shaped balloons, all, of course, made into, like, cute little balloon animals and cuddly things so that you could take them over with you, maybe to go visit your, like, niece or nephew, something along those lines, right? So, kids, remember, if you're looking for an after-party, LP suggestions here. We dug back into the vault, talked about Arkansas being a place. We didn't even talk about the Redneck Olympics. Yes, the condom-snorting challenge. Oh, my God. We talked about Rain City Jacks for people who are inclined to go ahead and finish the evening with a wonderful circle jerk of like 165 guys. Don't worry, a $40 per year membership includes the jizz mopper. So all you got to do is whack and splooge, pick up your pants and move on with your life. And if that doesn't work, just hit up the sex ed carnival over at George Mason University, throw some beanbags into a fake vagina, go ahead and learn how to put a condom on with a 3 foot tall penis among everything else. And perhaps you too can go ahead and find something to do that'll go ahead and just capture the essence of that fantastically wonderful after party we're all looking for. Know what I'm saying? Of course you do. All right, kids, I'm going to take a sip over here because I'm getting parched. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. Wow, and look at that. Like, just like that, half the show is gone. How wonderful is that, right? It's just another Friday night, kids. LP Faust is your host here. Kurt Circle of Intimacy is, Intimacy is here.
One of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
So we're having a time warp episode over here that is like prom inspired because I went to the daddy-daughter dance with my daughter. So we're going in the past here to go ahead and take a look at all those fantastic moments, some of those treasured, wonderful moments of this show for what, the almost 3 years that I've been doing this thing. Can't believe we're already up to like 110 episodes right now. I was looking at that. So I figured what would be greater to do than go back and look at and revisit those greatest hits moments that we went ahead and experienced as a family. As a circle of intimacy together, you know what I'm saying?
One of us, Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
Yes, Gray, 3 years. And that's just, of course, Joculation. Prior to that, there was Voices from the Mountains. And does anybody here, even outside of Ron, of course, does anyone here remember Voices from the Mountains?
How about new?
See, what I'll have to do is go ahead and actually... Oh, look at that. So at any rate, we're sitting here trying to go ahead and do everything. Well, I'm not. There's no we in this. Like, Ron is trying to go ahead and fix this. So guess what, kids? If you're listening to this episode of Joculation, you're actually hearing what was going on behind the scenes while Ron was having the entire radio station, pardon me, social broadcast, burned down. So, as a result, I just posted a link in the room. Think about it. We're going to get nostalgic here for just a second. We're going to go back in time and reach back to episode 12 when we're thinking about nostalgia here. And, you know, it comes from that period of time when the Friends episode came out. It's like, ooh, Friends reunion. And we talked about all that sort of stuff, right? About all the, you know, sort of homoerotic tendencies around that particular episode between, you know, Matt LeBlanc and the other dude over there. So what winds up happening? We got to go back in time, back when Wolverine was a thing. And I dropped the link in the room and thousands of people, remember back in the day in episode 12, when I went ahead and said, hey, check this out. There are thousands of people that allegedly went ahead and signed a petition for Danny DeVito to play Wolverine. Because I'll tell you what, kids, Nothing says Wolverine to me quite like Danny DeVito. You know what I'm saying there? You just got to look at him and say, bro.
I mean, what the fuck?
And I mean, he's cute and cuddly and all that sort of stuff.
Whoa!
You know what I'm saying? And it kind of goes ahead and touches on your heartstrings and makes you feel like, you know.
Aww.
So at any rate, according to this, according to what's over inside that actual, petition, the only man that's able to take the throne after Hugh Jackman, wrote Ring Arius, the username for the petition's creator, we believe that if Wolverine is to make an appearance in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the only man to be able to pull it off would be Danny DeVito. And you know what? The only thing that you can sit there and say to that is, that kind of an emphatic statement needs a nearly dead Ric Flair.
You know?
Absolutely, man. A nearly dead Ric Flair is the one that sort of like brings all of it together and makes the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe one cohesive unit. You know what I'm saying, kids? Of course you do. And of course, nothing says love or nothing actually says nostalgia quite like that moment that we all went ahead and learned that Britney Spears back in episode 54. And I mean, she's big in the news now, but remember way back when, in those nostalgic days in episode 54, when Britney Spears burned her home down. Remember that? Well, let me go ahead and refresh your memory for a second. So on Wednesday, taking to Instagram with the bizarre IGTV video, which she still had her clothes on, and she cops to the fact that she inadvertently burned down part of her gym 6 months ago with candles she'd been using for decor. That's right, kids. Fire hazards over here and everything. You know how it goes. According to her, quote, it was an accident, but yes, I burnt it down. I walked past the door to the gym, flames, and boom! So, it started to make me, at that time, think about a very important question. If you recall back in those days, we were all, learning about the new vag candles from freaking Goop. We were learning about all the different things, the Trump candle that came out, all of those particular things. Remember that, kids? We'll have to go ahead and pop the link. I'll even go ahead and make it so that if you're interested in the Goop candle, you too can get some. It made me wonder what kind of fucking candle was in her studio. So initially I thought it had to be the Gwyneth Paltrow Essence of Crotch Rot candle. You know what I'm saying? You seem to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind. You know that one. The reason why is at first I was like, it's trendy. It's got, the right degree of knuckle-dragger simpleton sophistication a trailer park princess can appreciate. But what completely threw it out is it's far too highbrow classy because, I mean, at the time, Elton John went ahead and bought the entire freaking market up. You know what I'm saying there? So then, of course, the next possible candidate for what burned down her house, if you recall back over in episode 58 there, I think it was, it had to have been the Trump-scented candle. That's right, kids. The Trump-scented candle.
Yeah!
The features of the Trump-scented candle, of course, are it smells like steak and suntan lotion. So that kind of checks the trailer trash queen boxes. It had the right hue of orange fake spray on tan, which becomes an instantly relatable thing to her. You know, estheticians think that Cheeto orange is somehow normal. It has the Louisiana link. I mean, she's from Louisiana, has fake bleached hair. Trump banks porn stars from Louisiana with fake, hair. And while suntan lotion checks the right level of lowbrow class, the steak stench isn't quite the right stench of grease and sweat from the pores. You know what I'm saying? So I came to the conclusion that really the only thing that it can possibly be is it's got to wind up being the KFC candle. And you're probably asking yourself,
I mean, what the fuck?
I mean, the KFC gravy candle? What in the fuck is that, LP? No problem. The KFC limited edition candle smells like KFC gravies and biscuits. And you know, I figured that that's got to be the one that she burned her house down with because, of course, it's got the right trailer trash class and sophistication one would expect to come from Britney. But, I mean, let's go ahead and face it, kids. You can take the girl out of the trailer park, but you can't take the trailer park out of the girl. You know what I'm saying there?
Yeah!
And, of course, when we think about nostalgia and all those things that are so important in life, all those things that we went ahead and missed out on, those things that give us the warm fuzzies of life that are so important, that make life complete and worth living. We can't go ahead and forget or give up on the fact that we had that wonderful moment where we went ahead and learned about the glitoris. That's right, kids, the glitoris. The glitoris is something that a sculpture from Ali Sebastian Wolf made. It's a 1-to-100 scale model of a clitoris, painted and covered in glitter and sequined with, quote, nerves. So her clitoris was set to be exhibited in Sydney Bar and Art Space and The Bearded Tit. The feature performances were created by a group of clitori, described as Wolf as, quote, bejeweled princesses of the clit. The world would be a happier, healthier place when the shape is as familiar as the old John Thomas, she said. Maybe, someday we'll have as many clits graffitied on walls as penises. And that, kids, would be a good day. I mean, everybody's got to have a dream, right? Martin Luther King dreamt of a black kid and a white kid playing together in peace and harmony. Some people dream of a world that's carbon-free, where we're not going to go ahead and choke to death on carbon dioxide. Others may have other dreams, but no, that pales in comparison to maybe one day having clitorises graffitied on toilet walls just as frequently as penises, because that, kids, that is a good day. I seem to recall that somewhere in the movie of Conan the Barbarian, that was one of his things that were great in life. You know what I'm saying there? Of course you do. We don't know if Ron will ever get the station back online, but I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to actually go ahead and run some music here. I'm going to take a break because, well, I'm LP, I'm parched, and I'm going to continue doing the show for the people that are listening over on the podcast. So I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation, maybe. I'm not sure there, Gray, that going ahead and saying 35% is the correct percentage to drink whiskey, because I don't know. I mean, I've had cask strength whiskey. I've had, like, you know, some of Booker's hot whiskey where it's the high proof whiskey. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't need to be watered down. That stuff is really, really good just the way it is, just the way nature intended. You know what I'm saying? So, kids, we kind of had a show going on here for a little while, got interrupted, so we're going to try and keep this going for as long as the crazy glue and the glue tape, or the duct tape, goes on, or at least for the next half hour, whichever comes first. You understand what I'm saying? So we have no idea drinking Wild Turkey. Dude, that shit is disgusting. I will not drink Wild Turkey. I will drink Booker's. I will drink some of the other stuff over there, such as, like, you know, Macallan Cask Strength. I'll drink things like that. Wild Turkey? Do we drink Wild Turkey at all? I mean,
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
No, we might clean parts to the car in Wild Turkey. I mean, that's what it's suitable for. But we don't go ahead and actually drink Wild Turkey. I mean, do we drink Wild Turkey over here, Carlos? I'm just...
No.
Yeah, you know, PZ, if you had been following the show, you'd actually know the answer to the question of whether or not I will eat Wild Turkey. So, there you go, kids. Your card is showing about how long you've been here for about 5 minutes. But we won't get into that because I'm not preachy. All right, kids, so we've been going through the show, and it's been a bit of a time warp show. We've been revisiting some of the old episodes that, you know, stuff that's not been out there on the podcast at all, because we started the podcast at, like, I think, episode 83, and we've been delving back into the very early episodes of, like, 1, 16, 24, all the cool stories, all the fucked up news that LP is discovering. I've got a whole treasure chest full of them, right? It's like the magic toy box where you hide all the dildos and the sex toys, except inside there's the really weird fucked up stories that I'm like, wow, I forgot that I went ahead and just went into that level of fucked up. So if you've been missing it, don't worry. You can always go ahead and catch it over on the podcast when it goes up there. We're running about 2 to 3 weeks behind. So that means you're going to have to be patient and just patient and patient a little more, because eventually we'll get to it, right? So we went ahead through this. It was prom-inspired stories and, you know, all the way going back all the way to starting out at the prom to determining what the right after party was to the right nostalgic components. And, of course, now, kids, we got to get to the winding down part. So, you know, after you've been sitting there going ahead and doing your dancing and doing all of that stuff, trying to get laid, going home with blue balls and all that stuff because it just didn't happen. There's only really one solution that you can go ahead and do to start winding down. Of course, it's to go ahead and break out something to drink, right? And we're talking about these beautiful cocktails and shit like that that our good friend over here, Gray, has gone ahead and told us. I'm just wondering, Carlos.
No.
Well, not to a degree. Fortunately, back in episode 87, we were on the cutting edge of learning about cocktails that are more appropriate for social gatherings and winding down. Remember that whole series we talked about getting wasted on cum cocktails? You remember that, don't you? Of course you do. So way back when, over in episode 87, we talked about this Vice article where the Vice interns, which of course are not named and don't want to take any credit for writing this article, decided to go ahead and check out cum cocktails. And here's what happened according to their first-person account, allegedly. Our crazy new intern got a bunch of her girlfriends and guy friends together to drink semen-infused cocktails. And here's how that went. Fady's first book, Nature's Harvest, a collection of semen-based recipes, was very well received when it was released back over in 2008. And the sales propelled him to the travel world to find new ways to infuse semen in gastronomy, because nothing says absolutely like groundbreaking and I need to go ahead and discover new ways to go ahead and, instead of jerking off into a rag, find a way to make it sit there and do something other than get washed out in the laundry, right? So why not go ahead and try and find new ways to, like, infuse shit with your own cum? Kind of like Monica Lewinsky moments, right? All right, let's not go there. So his new book, of course, that comes out after that seminal moment, teaches its reader the unconventional art of semen-based mixology. And you just got to ask yourself,
what the fuck?
Because what the fuck went ahead and made a person think, hey, I got a great idea. I got all this leftover shit that's coming out of my dick. It's hot couture for a pub in New Zealand to serve horse cum shots, because who in the fuck would go ahead and actually drink that?
No, fuck you fucking fuckers!
According to the author, we eat eggs, which is chicken menstruation, and milk, which is cow secretion. That's pretty disgusting. Semen is fresh, and you know who the producer is. That quote alone inspired her to throw her own cum into a cocktail, or excuse me, to throw my own cum into a cocktail party. So I called up some guys who wanted to donate their semen and some girls who wanted to drink said semen, and us ladies got wasted on jizz, and I'm just going to go ahead and stop right there. I can't think of a moment when I was just kind of like hanging out over at the party, you know, over at work one evening when I was a single man, and all of a sudden the female interns got together and said, hey, I got an idea. How about we just go out over here and like get some dude to jerk off into a cup for us so we can go ahead and make some cocktails? That sounds wonderful. I mean, I'm sure there are several porn films that is actually like the central theme and all that stuff. You know, it's like the underlying storyline. But let's get real, man. I mean, do we believe this shit?
How
for
about
a second?
New?
Of course not. But we'll go on because we want to go ahead and actually, like, I don't know, pretend like we believe this for about 5 seconds. So then, of course, you know, they had recipes like the watermelon gin jizz, the slightly saltier caviar, and the Mexican cum slide, because that's not racist at all, you know?
How dare you?
So at any rate, so they went ahead and decided to get a bunch of guys who in the fuck is going to say no to that? At any rate, they went to over and matched each man's jizz based on their lifestyle and eating habits with an appropriate drink recipe. So for instance, Tony ended up with the gin and tonic since he's a heavy smoker. Foodie told me a smoker's cum would complement the drink very nicely. Jimmy ended up inside of the macho mojito because he's a vegetarian and presumably healthier than all of us. And my friend Bruce stirred his baby gravy into the semen bomb, a twisted variant of the Irish car bomb. He drinks so much I figured that alcoholic semen would probably be alcoholic to begin with. So, it took a little coaxing to get shy Tony to head to the bathroom, but when he did, it was amazing. Amazing!
How dare you?
Right? I'm just thinking. It wasn't. They were sitting there going, yeah, that's amazing. And the rest of us are looking at this going,
that's a scam.
Yeah, man. We know this shit. But at any rate. So, not if you do it right, huh? So, my kind of willing to drink semen cocktail friend Victoria almost puked right there after she stared at a cum-filled glass. So,
They placed it into the kitchen and they let it, quote, melt. Because according to this expert, Footy, who basically jerks off into a cup and makes his own cocktails that he can consume to relax and wind down after a stressful day, the act of melting cum is a vital part of the drink-making process. Because once you've harvested your jizz, which is almost like semi-coagulated eggs, or perhaps like slightly sour milk, you have to let it sit in the glass for a few minutes so it loses its lumpy texture and has a nice smooth consistency, which makes the perfect addition to any meal. You know what I'm saying there, kids? I'm just wondering.
No.
Yeah, whatever. So, if you recall, we went ahead and took a look at that, and of course, we give the abbreviated portion of it. If you want to check out the entire episode of all of this thing, of everything you want to know about freaking, you know, semen cocktails and, you know, breast milk freaking cheese and nature's harvest cooking with semen, check out, you know, Joculation episode 87 and all of the wisdom that it tries to impart upon the world to go ahead and help you all learn all of these important skills like a Boy Scout that you're going to have to carry with you through life in all of those difficult moments and those trials that you'll face. And of course, after you've gone ahead and engaged in all of this hedonistic heathen activity, you know, Normok's not there to go ahead and save your soul. So you got to go ahead and do the next best thing. And of course, what do? We have to reach back into the Joculation Vault. LP, how do I go ahead and get absolution for the sins that I'm about to commit? Well, it's very easy. Just make an appointment with the South African pastor who will fart on your face to give you the blessings of Jesus Christ. Because that's the way it is, kids. So a South African pastor reportedly farted on people's faces as a healing process to cure all the spiritual and physical harm. Pastor Chris Penelope of Sevenfold Holy Spirit Ministries in Limpopo, South Africa, has created a buzz online for his unorthodox method of healing people after a photo of him sitting on the heads of the people, apparently farting on them, went viral. Now, according to the pastor, who was deeply offended that anybody would go ahead and actually, you know, think that he was doing, you know, doing something other than God's word, farting near the person's nostrils is important so that they not only taste taste the rich aroma that they're about to go ahead and imbue inside of their body, but it's also so that the healing power can enter its body and do its work, because it's God's work, kids. Now, according to him, it started with Master Jesus when he stepped on Peter. It is a demonstration of God's power. Just like God made Adam go into a deep sleep, it's a similar thing. God did anything with the body of Adam when he was on the ground in a deep sleep. He was not feeling anything. The Bible doesn't say anything about Adam saying, "God, you're hurting me," the pastor told the South African magazine interviewing him. When they wake up from the deep sleep, they'll tell you that they didn't feel anything. It's a showing of the power of God. And those who needed healing are healed afterwards and others get to manifest at that moment. Remember, when people are trying to tarnish your image, that's when he shows his glory. As long as souls are won into the kingdom, he who sits on the throne and other people's faces laugh at their enemies. Surprisingly, believe it or not, you would think to yourself, dude, this is great for a fetish video, but you know something? What in the hell is going on here? Is this for real? Well, apparently people wait up to 2 months to meet him, have them sit on his face, shove their nostrils in his ass, and he just lets a wet one rip. Some will actually even collect his farts in containers because it's the blessings of Christ. Normok, I don't think that you're a devout Christian yet. I don't see you collecting containers of this man's farts. I think that you're a heathen. I think that I can't necessarily believe that you're willing to accept our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, into your life. I'm just saying, I question you now, Normok. Just questioning you. All right, kids. I'm going to go ahead and take a break here because after all of the station catching on fire and all that shit and the delays, we're down to 20 minutes in the show, and I'm going to take a break during the segment. I'm Helpy Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show, at least for as long as the station stays together. You know, get some more duct tape, get some more crazy glue, because, kids, We're about to ease into some Richard Cheese right now. And as always, grab your cocktail, throw on your smoking jacket, go ahead and have somebody sit on your face and fart, because that's the way that we're going to go ahead and get the blessings of not only Christ our Savior, but also of Richard Cheese. I'm LP Faust, your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation.
Wow, kids, and just like that, it's like the time went. It's almost like there was a period of time there where something happened and it suddenly just made everything go away.
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
You know how it is, kids. We got to go ahead and get it all pulled together. I'm sure that eventually Ron will get the station all pulled together all right. You know, maybe just in time for Clay's stuff. Or maybe what'll happen is Clay will be in the middle of his show and all of a sudden, you know, boom. There will be no Clay and no Cope. And then, you know, the whole world will have to come to a stop and an end and all that stuff. Either that or Ron will just go to sleep and say, fuck you, Clay, I'll deal with it tomorrow. You know how it is. That's probably the most likely scenario. All right, kids, so for the recap tonight. Tonight was a Time Warp episode. As threatened, we went back into the vault. We dug up all kinds of stuff, and it was all things that were inspired from going ahead and checking out the daddy-daughter ball last week with my daughter. So we went ahead and had a little prom thing. We went ahead and had a revisit of the he-skirt fashion trend back over from episode 8. We went ahead and checked out a perfume that smells like semen and was inspired by the AIDS epidemic back from episode 16. You know, those ones that you can't get over on the podcast platforms? I'm just saying, because it wasn't there. We discussed the flower vase hair, which was a whimsical new updo trend that went viral on Instagram back in episode 1, the very first episode of Joculation. We then discussed the trend of bedazzled breasts where glitter and body paint were the Halloween trend back in episode 28. We went ahead and talked about a man who had a shoe fetish and stole 126 flip-flops so he could have sex with them that we discussed over in episode 58. We checked out the wonderful world of accessorizing and looked back to episode 5 for some help, where we learned about the GoPro that if for your dick, which is ridiculous, which is the cock cam. We went ahead and gave you the link that you could go ahead and check to purchase that. We also talked about some fantastic jewelry trends that existed back over in episode 17, such as the bespoke jewelry, which was the future of luxury, where you would actually go ahead and swallow a ring and a bunch of colorful vials so that you could shit out a completely polished ring that was beautiful and vibrant. It's great for, like, all kinds of things, accessorizing for daddy-daughter balls, for proms, or even to go ahead and perhaps provide as an engagement gift. We then went ahead and talked about whether or not you could, you know, how you could determine whether or not a party was worth staying at. We talked about the 22 protesters that sexually assaulted a statue of Christopher Columbus. We then went ahead and talked about how a party should end, such as the fraternity brother that sued the fraternity over a bottle rocket that was unsuccessfully shot out of a dude's ass. It exploded in his rectum. And it wasn't the dude that had the bottle rocket explode in his rectum that sued. It was the guy that, backing away, fell off of a 4-foot deck. So apparently that was life-threatening, terrible, and it was emotionally traumatizing. We then went ahead and discussed after parties, where we talked about great after parties like the two men in Arkansas that got hammered, put on bulletproof vests, and shot each other, then lied to the cops about it. We then talked about Quaz Club that he likes to go hang out at, which is the Rain Jack Club, which is Seattle's premier men's jack-off club, which, by the way, isn't just for gay men. They apparently have got 10% straights over there. On top of that, we talked about proactive education, things that you could do for an after party. Places like George Mason University that has wonderful things over in their sex ed carnival, such as a penis ring toss, a vagina beanbag toss, lubricant taste testing, things of that nature, which are wonderful, inclusive, awesome after-party events that you two can go ahead and attend. We then went ahead and listened to the entire station take a shit, and during that time we talked about the fantastic petition calling for Danny DeVito to play the next Wolverine, which we talked about in episode 22. Gave you the link to the fantastic change.org petition, which currently has about 76,000 signatures. We then revisited that fantastic moment when Britney Spears burned down her home gym with candles, and we speculated on whether it was the crotch rot vag candle for that Gwyneth Paltrow put out, whether or not it was the Trump-scented candle that we went ahead and put out, or maybe the KFC's limited edition candle that smells exactly like their gravy and some biscuits. We talked about the Glatoris sculpture that was created over there, and we talked about that particular episode, episode 56. Then we went over and checked out a few more things, getting wasted on cum cocktails in episode 87, which you can catch
over on the podcast platforms. We also talked about the South African pastor that farts on people's faces. And kids, I've run out of time. So I'll tell you what. Thanks for everybody that's come out here tonight to go ahead and support the show. Thanks for everybody that's over on the platform supporting the show, listening in other ways. And you know what? Miss you all. Thanks so much for coming out. I appreciate every last one of you. As William Shakespeare once said, all the world's a stage. As we strut and fret across the stage of life, always be sure to ask yourself, why watch the show when you can be the show? I'm LP Faust checking out. Be sure to catch what you missed over on Joculations podcast, and I'll catch you next week. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter @FaustLP and Instagram @LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted, and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.